effective though it is as a spur to high performance, there's no denying that the sense of collective responsibility felt by Japanese does restrain certain forms of individualism cherished in the West. Probably the single most important thing to know about Japanese is that they instinctively operate on the principle of group consensus. For an individual to achieve self-satisfaction at the expense of the collective welfare is regarded as unspeakably bad, and individual self-assertion in almost any form is rigorously discouraged. The nail that sticks up gets hammered down, says one of the most famous of Japanese proverbs. So it does, with the result that only in very rare cases does an individual, however brilliant or charismatic, singly make decisions for an entire group or organization. Under normal Japanese practice, before a group is committed to any new course of action, all its members, or at least all those with any claim to competence in the matter, must have examined the proposal and accepted it. The manner in which such a consensus is achieved is known as nemawashi, or root binding, a term taken from bonsai culture, in which whenever a miniature tree is repotted, its roots are carefully trimmed and positioned in such a way as to determine the tree's future shape. In the human context, nemawashi involves a cautious inquiry of all the people legitimately concerned with an issue, a highly tentative process in which no firm stands are openly taken, and argument is implicit rather than explicit. From a Japanese point of view, the greatest advantage of this indirect approach is that it all but rules out the possibility of direct personal conflicts. The extent to which Japanese dread such conflicts is not always evident from the way in which they deal with Westerners. Because they are intellectually aware that in the West, confrontation is regarded as healthy and useful, a certain number of Japanese now try to deal with this strange foreign taste. Their efforts to do so are often enough both forced and inappropriate. An extreme case in point being a Japanese businessman of my acquaintance who, after a few years' residence in Texas, has seemingly concluded that any fruitful discussion with Americans must begin with an exchange of insults. Such behavior, however, is highly misleading. No matter how they conduct themselves with foreigners, in dealing among themselves, Japanese all operate on the same assumption. A resort to confrontation tactics automatically signifies that you have lost the game. When they first learn of Nemawashi, most Westerners instinctively dismiss it as an impossibly clumsy and ineffectual way to do business. And it can, in truth, be tedious and time-consuming. It also sometimes leaves Westerners confused as to who the key figures on the other side really are. In one set of negotiations between a European and a Japanese company with which I became involved, the Europeans never quite grasped the fact that their strongest ally in the Japanese company was about three steps down its executive ladder and was testing out ideas rather than making firm business propositions. Still, for all its weak points, Nemawashi has at least one great merit, even by Western standards. By performing the function known to American businessmen as getting everyone involved, it ensures that once a course of action has been agreed upon, it can be carried out rapidly and with a minimum of the frustrations that often obstruct the progress of our own institutions.